we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
On your mark, get set, go. It's another week here in Brevard County that we get to run for the glory of the Lord. Have anybody ready to run and not grow weary? I'm thankful that that's a spiritual metaphor and not a physical metaphor. I've not got to that point yet. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I was my daughter was at a dance class, and she didn't get to walk the dog, and so I decided that I'd walk the dog for her. And her dog is half husky, and not a real big dog. I see some husky like dogs around our church, and this dog's probably half the size of that dog. That one around the church is about the size of a wolf. It is just huge. I would expect that it could pull a sled in the Iditarod no problem whatsoever. Her dog is only about 40 to 45 pounds, something like that. And so I decided that I would take her dog for a walk for her. And so I was walking, and then this crazy idea came into my head and said, I wonder, what kind of, how far I could run. And so I said, come on, let's go. And that dog started running and does not run. It's a half coon hound of some variety. I always get the tree walker coon hound or something like that. And so you would think, I've walked dogs a lot and ran with them, and they just kind of walk beside you and wag their tongue and all that. Not this dog. It was like, okay, I'm ready to pull something. And there was somebody that was standing out by their front door, and I was the person that you see on the commercial. That dog was dragging me. I was like holding the rein, saying, whoa, this could be a bad idea. But we're ready to run for the glory of the Lord this week. Amen. And pray that you had a wonderful Mother's Day and that you got to spend time with the wonderful gifts of God that God has placed in your life, in the women in your life. So anyway, let's get started. We want to say thank you to Jits Concrete once again, 536-5804. They can help you with any of your block or construction needs. So give them a call, Jits Concrete, 536-5804. They're based right here in Cocoa, Florida, and they can be a blessing in your life. And so we want to invite you this week to our vintage service Wednesday at 11 a.m., come and be a part of that if you can. We preach the word, we sing some hymns and older choruses, and pray for miracles, and we just continue to see the goodness of God. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. I've been the pastor of Merritt Assembly of God for 23 and a half years. Later this week will be 23 and a half years. That I've been there, and I can still remember the first Sunday that I walked in, and Isaiah chapter 6 was the passage that I preached from. It's a very familiar passage. So we're going to look at it today. We're going to talk about it and see what applications that we could have that would bless us in our lives. And Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate, the Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places of many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it, and will return, and be for consuming as a terebinth tree, or as an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down. So the holy seed shall be its stump. So let's go back to verse number one. It says, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. You need to realize two things about the context of this passage. First, Uzziah had reigned for decades and decades. Uzziah was the king that Isaiah began his ministry under. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 1, it says, The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So chapters 1 through 5, those have taken place while Uzziah was alive. Isaiah had begun his ministry, and he had been the king for decades. So one of the things that I'm thankful for in our American politics is that presidents are limited to two terms. It's something, you know, we had one president that lasted longer than that, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. But after that, they said, you know what, two terms is enough. Two terms is enough. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that no matter who it is, because we don't want people. Uzziah had become so full of himself. He started off well, but finished poorly. And so I would rather start poorly and finish well, but even better than that, I would like to start well and finish well. But this was Isaiah's ministry while Uzziah was still alive. So he was already in the ministry when he has this supernatural revelation in Isaiah chapter 6. So let me talk to you and ask you this question. How long have you been a Christian? And the answer, for some, it may be you just gave your heart to the Lord yesterday. And if so, welcome to the household of faith. Welcome to the body of believers. Welcome to the bride of Christ. We welcome you and we celebrate you being a part of the body of Christ. But if you say, I've been a Christian for a long time, I've been a Christian for a medium time, all of that is irrelevant, because this is what I want you to see, that no matter how long you've been on this journey, there's always the potential for greater revelation from heaven. Can you imagine what was going on in Isaiah? God was using him to speak to the nation. He was using him to speak to God's people. And instead of getting filled up with pride and arrogance, he has a humbling revelation from heaven. So it doesn't matter that I've pastored Merit Assembly of God for 23 plus years. What does matter is this, that God has a revelation of himself. He wants to take us from glory to glory. He wants to reveal himself to us to a greater degree than we've ever had him reveal himself to us before. How many people, thousands and thousands, millions of believers who've been encouraged because of the revelation that Isaiah had here in chapter 6. So the ministry had already begun, but it was getting ready to go to a greater degree. And by the way, I will tell you this, there have been people who've called Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, a microcosm of the Word of God, because just like there are 66 books in the Bible, Old Testament, 39, 27 in the New Testament, there are 66 books or 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. And there are wonderful messianic prophecies that are given, such as Isaiah chapter 61, in the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. And Jesus said, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. There are wonderful insights into Jesus in Isaiah chapter 53 and Isaiah chapter 58. You and I, it's just a wonderful, wonderful book. And if we will allow God to reveal himself to us, it will not only impact us personally, but it could impact people for a long, long time. So I want to encourage you to press into God, and instead of, like we talked about last week, being wise in our own eyes, recognize that we need a greater revelation of God, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and we need to avail ourselves of that. So, but this was the year that King Uzziah died. It was a year of transition. It was a year of change. And after 23 years of pastoring, 30-some years of being in the ministry, I can tell you this. People don't like change. They just don't like it. Unless it's a new car or a new house or new jewelry or new clothes. They like those things, but outside of that, they don't like change. And God's people are no different. We generally don't like too much change. Let's take a poll. How many of you have ever had a computer and you updated the software and the new software was different than the old software and you said the old was better? Okay. And so we just don't like change. It is because we don't like being unfamiliar with what is going on. We don't like the thought process of things being beyond our control. We don't like things we don't understand. We don't like things that we cannot control. And death is one of those things that is extremely angering to people because we can't control it. It's like the weather. We can't control the weather. There are things beyond your control, but there is nothing that is beyond God's control. And so I have this just vivid imagination because in 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to turn over there, 1 Thessalonians. Let me get there. Let me find the right spot here. In verse number 13 of chapter 4, it says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. A lot of times, people will use the second coming of Christ as a terrifying tactic to get people to put their faith in the Lord, because nobody wants to go to hell, or few people want to go to hell. There are some people who have been deceived spiritually to think that it is a desirable location. It is not. But verse number 18 tells us that God's motive for this passage was not to terrify, but to comfort and encourage people when it comes to the end time events and the passing of their loved ones. So it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. And so I have this very vivid imagination that God has customized every coffin. And if believers have been cremated, then their urn or wherever their ashes, that he's equipped all of those things with a spiritual ejector seat, that when the Jesus returns with a shout and with the trumpet call of God, that those things are just going to come bursting forth into the presence of God. So I'm not afraid of death. It's not something that I'm looking forward to. I would prefer to be alive and remaining at the coming of the Lord. That sounds like a desirable thing for me. I'm looking forward to that. Whichever process God uses to get me into the presence of God, I'm okay with that. But people get very upset. They get angry at God because of death. And I want you to understand, God told Adam and Eve, said, please don't sin. Please don't sin, because the day that you eat of the tree that I have told you not to eat of, it results in death. Death means separation. It is separation of life from the body. The scripture says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So every person on the planet has sinned. Now, I'm sharing good news here with you. I'm sharing the reality, the truth of it, but I also want to share with you the good news, and that is this. Jesus Christ came and became sin for us so that our sin could be forgiven. He paid the price. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So he took that which was under the devil's control, and he has now placed it under the keys to death, hell, and the grave in his own hand. Now, I do need to tell you, because this might come as a shock to some who are still living with the deception of their own indestructiveness, that there's appointed unto man once to die. There is no coming back and getting a second chance. There is no, I didn't do too well that time, so maybe the next time I'll do better and I'll rise to a higher level. That's not happening. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. So if you've experienced a transition, people who've always been there and all of a sudden they're not there, I want you to do what Isaiah did, and that is this. Look to heaven. Look to heaven. Don't do like they do in Revelation, where their world is falling apart and everything is out of their control and sickness and disease and plagues are breaking out. And the book of Revelation says they shake their fist at God and they curse him. They curse God because there are things that are out of their control because they had rejected the word of the Lord. They had rejected his offer of forgiveness. And so don't be afraid of change. Don't be afraid of transition. When they rebuilt the second temple after Solomon's temple had been destroyed, there were people who had seen the first temple and they saw the second one, and it wasn't filled with all of the gold that Solomon's was. It didn't have the grandeur that one did. And so they were crying and they were moaning. And the prophet came and said to them, do not weep over this, for the glory of this second temple will be greater than the glory of the former temple. You see, God, the change that God brings about is never a setback. It is a set up. it is a setup for success. So we've had a number of families who've had loved ones that were just promoted into the presence of God. That is not a setback. My grandmother earlier this year died at 101 and a half. And that's not a loss for us. It was a gain for her. And so I want to encourage you, do what Isaiah did. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. And I believe there is something to not only seeing him, but seeing his posture, that in this season of transition, this season of uncertainty, that God is seated on the throne. I don't know about you, but I am a pacer when I pray. I walk. And so when we are having our early morning prayer, and it's early, it involves getting up at 4:30 to 5:30 in order to get there, just depending on what time I wake up. And so I pace back and forth. I walk. There are a number of people, they start off walking, they end up sitting. There are some people that start sitting and they're able to pray right through that in that position. I want to be awake and alert, and so I don't I don't want to fall asleep. So I keep myself very active. So but God, he's not up on the throne pacing back and forth because things are out of his control. He says, I'm still right where I always was. I'm sitting on the throne. I'm ruling and I'm reigning. The scepter of authority is still in my hand. And today, some of you may be going through that transition. You may be going through a job change. You may be going through, you may be like our family and had a loved one that passed away. And it's not an enjoyable season, but I want you to know that God is going to give you a revelation of himself if you will just look to him. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. I don't know what your week holds. For me, I've got a couple of things this week. I've got a doctor's appointment where I get an update on my eye. Not one of my favorite things to go through, but I'm looking forward to hearing how things are progressing. Notice I said progressing. Later this week, I have a birthday. Looking forward to that. It's one of my favorite days of the year, because I like my birthday. so that's coming up. I like those things, but there are things that may come up that are out of my control, but I can still look up to God and see that he's in transition. So you might have a new job that you're beginning. You might have a job that's ending. You may have a meeting that you've got coming up and you're fasting and praying about that. I just want to encourage you, don't go into that meeting unprepared. Go into it with your eyes fixed upon the throne room, because God says that the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say when you need those words to say. When we are representing the King, he will make sure that we are equipped and prepared. You know, a couple of weeks ago, my daughter, who she just graduated a couple of weeks ago, week and a half ago, she had a class where she was taking church business administration and management, something like that. And she had to set up a church budget, and it was a part of a group project. Now, I want to ask you, who do you suppose that she called? Now, with a lot of her homework that she had when she was in high school, she went to her mother for that help. But in this particular case, remember, she's dealing with a church budget. So I'm sitting in my office, and she asked me a general question, and I said, well, you know, baby, I have the budget of the church in my office. I wasn't in my office at that time. She called me on my cell phone. I said, I have that in my office. And I said, I could help you with this. And later in the day, I was at the church. She told me what kind of annual income they were supposed to base their church budget on. And so I said, well, here's the percent that we came. And I said, now you've got to factor in some change here, because they've got your church with a mortgage that our church doesn't have. And so you're going to have to tweak some things, and you're going to have to adjust it. And so last year, where our church gave $70,000 to missions, she put in her church budget that their church was giving 30% or $30,000 to missions. And that was 15% of that church's budget. And I loved this, because after they presented their budget, they had a question and answer session. And, the class said, wow, how can you give such a large percentage to missions? And she said, well, actually, what I need to tell you is, you know, I got this information from my dad, and our church gave a much larger percentage. They didn't give 15%. They gave 30% of their church's income to missions. And I say that to you, she came to me because it was something that I had expertise in. If you are going through a transition in your life, I want you to look to God today, look to His Word, say, God, would you reveal yourself to me? Because God is expert in transitions. He is the God who transforms us by the renewing of our mind. God has no intention of letting you stay the person you are. He wants you to become the person that He created you to be. He wants you to grow and mature in your faith, grow and mature in your effectiveness, grow in your understanding of God's Word, grow in your ability to reach the lost and win souls for the kingdom of God. God has no desire to maintain the status quo. He intends to invade enemy territory and plunder the kingdom of darkness. He intends for brands to be plucked from the burning, souls to be saved, because just like Paul, He has a valuable work for them to do for Him. Father, I just pray right now, at the very beginning of this week, Lord, that we would start off acknowledging Your Lordship over our lives. God, I'm thankful for where people are, but I pray that this week we would grow in our revelation and understanding of You. God, if there are people who are going through transitions, I pray that You would be with them and help them to see that You are still in control. Glory to God. We want to welcome you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast. See you then.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Lord, I wish I could praise You with adequate words, but You leave me speechless. And I so long to sing You the song You deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move Your heart, I bring You something new, I tell how great You are, I tell my praise to You.
It's like an ocean breeze blowing on Your face. summer.